On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Come Monday, it'll be all right.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. It's a pleasure to be with you. You sit back and relax, I'll take it from here. Please don't call in with any questions. I don't take questions on this show. And if I did, the answer would be no. Well, this is the last day of February. We've run out of them. I guess there was a sale on days in February. We're on the last one here. It's the last one on the shelf. What are you going to do with your last day of February? You know, February is a very short month. It doesn't last very long. It's got only 28 days in it. Other months, as you know, have up to 31. Some of them have 37. This one's only got 28, unless it's leap year, and that's where you get the 37. People are looking at each other. Is that true? Is that true? I'm going to celebrate the 28th day of February the way I celebrate the 27th. And 26, not so much. Yeah. March comes in like a lion, goes out like a puppy dog. Is that right? Am I getting the wrong animal here? Goes out like a lamb. Why did we choose a lamb? is a lamb that docile? How about comes in like a lion, goes out like a snail? Yeah, that's more like it. About March goes in like a lion, goes out like an introverted, quiet person. All right, that's enough. That's enough. Welcome to the show. How are you? Good to be with you. It's interesting, when I do this show, my voice doesn't clear up until the last 10 minutes. I'm going to give you a little insight into this program. I've been doing this for a long time, at least 3 minutes. Now, I've been doing this for like 30 freaking years. My God. I do these things in the morning. Right now, I'm not supposed to tell you this by fear that they could cut off my banking. It's 6:15 in the morning right now. The sun has barely come up. Even the sun has said, I'm not interested in coming up yet. So when I do this show, am I fresh and awake? Yeah. But it's not until the last 10 minutes that I really start, you know, my voice clears up. I rarely look in the mirror before I even do this show because I can't handle the depression and do it, then do an entire program. So I look in the mirror later on. We'll do that. Yeah, I look in the mirror anytime. I've gotten in the habit of weighing myself when I get up in the morning to see if I've gained it all while I was sleeping, because I don't know what I'm doing when I'm sleeping. I really don't. I have very strange dreams that make no sense. I think we all have these odd dreams where it just doesn't happen like that. I talked about this a few months ago. I had a dream that I had a pot-bellied pig. That was the pet in my house, and the pig was capable of typing and taking letters and making phone calls. It was a very strange dream. I don't know. That's why I weigh myself when I get up to see if that's affected me in any way, shape, or form. I figure it has to. I'm very conscious of my weight now. I weigh myself in the morning, and then in the afternoon I eat whatever I want anyway, so it doesn't really make any difference. I've never been a member of Weight Watchers or any of those things. I don't see the point of watching my weight. I can weigh myself, but I'm not going to watch myself gain weight. It's like watching paint dry. You don't do that. You don't sit in the corner of a room and just stare at your stomach and say, let's see if I'm going to bloat. I'm bloating. I'm bloating. You don't do that. People don't do that. Oprah, of course, was a member of Weight Watchers for a time. Yeah, that worked. That didn't say much for Weight Watchers, did it? That was the last person that should have been with Weight Watchers. Oprah has all the money in the world. She could actually open her mouth and consume Jeff Bezos. And I think she has. She's gone up and down with the weight. She looks, the best she looks is okay. The worst she looks is, oh my God. So she's not exactly a spokesperson for weight control. And you know, with that kind of money, you would figure financially she can take care of that problem. I've said before, the woman can sit in a chair and hire people to move her body for her. All right, Bob, you take my left arm. Sid, you take my right arm. Marcia, my left leg. All right, you did the left leg yesterday. All right, do my right leg. And let's see, Brian, the left leg, please. Okay, now move them in coordination with the music. And when I say music, I've hired a 20-piece orchestra. Start playing. Marcia, get ready to move my leg. She doesn't have to do anything. Or you figured she could have had some type of miraculous surgery that we don't even know about. Some type of mental surgery. Uninvasive, invasive, but yet at the same time most effective. And then she could publish pictures of herself looking fantastic to the point where even Stegman would want to marry her. But it didn't happen. Didn't happen. She never really lost the weight. She always has a battle with it. And then she's a member of Weight Watchers and a spokesperson. And you may realize she also had major financial interest in the company. That goes hand in hand. So, Not a good spokesperson. We've had Weight Watchers on the show before, and I don't know why. Well, because they sponsored the show every once in a while. And then, at least they used to, and so I started talking about them. They changed their name from Weight Watchers to WW because they thought that would be a little bit more prominent, you know. We're not Weight Watchers. We've taken over the entire two letters. Twice the same letter, as a matter of fact. If you're going to say W as a letter in the alphabet, you're going to think about Weight Watchers. Well, no, I actually don't. So I actually said to, I wish I could play this for you, it's just I'm too lazy to find it. I said to them, well, what's your website that we can go to lose weight or something? And I said, is it www? W.W.W. And the spokesperson said, yes, it is. Okay. This is getting a little out of hand here. I've heard of branding, but this is just annoying. I've never joined any weight. I've never had the weight of needing to do that, but I don't understand what they do. I guess you go to meetings like Alcoholics Anonymous, like AA. www.aa. we've cut everything down to letters in the alphabet, ladies and gentlemen. But it's like Alcoholics Anonymous. I guess you go to, I've never been, so I don't know. I'm just speculating that you sit in a classroom with other large people and you just compare. Hey, you're looking, did you lose some weight?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Thank you. Thank you. See you next week. I don't know what they do at these meetings. I don't know what they do.
How's your daughter?
She's fine. She's fine.
Okay, let's go home.
I don't know what they... Is it like book club? Do they just sit there and drink wine during the entire session? That's what book clubs are. People get together in somebody's living room. Let's talk about the book that we were supposed to have read here, called Mission to the Stars. Anybody read it? A couple of people. Did you like it?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's all right.
Okay, let's open up the wine.
So anyway, so the neighbor down the street has two left arms, and give me more of that wine.
That's a book club. That's a book club. And it's Weight Watchers. I don't know. I've never been. I've never known anybody that went either. If I did, I would have asked them, what the hell goes on in that secret society there? Is this like a branch of the Masons? What is this? What are you doing? Is this a cult of some sort? Are you waiting for the spaceship to come so you can all go to the other planet at once in a mass suicide attempt? What is this? This WW I hear of. Are the W's like tattooed onto your forehead? Are they branded there with a branding iron? Do you swap blood in the middle of the night? What is this WW thing? What is your purpose and your mantra? What is your slogan? Lose weight or die? Is that what it is? Is it like New Hampshire? Lose weight or die. That should be the motto. Every time I go to New Hampshire and I see a New Hampshire license plate and it says live free or die, I always start, it gives me something to do while I'm driving, but I'm always pondering like, what is up with this? Why is that on your license plate? Can you find something that's a little more cheery that doesn't involve death? It doesn't involve the consequence of death being listed on the back of your license plate as an option? What the hell's wrong with you people in this state? Live free or die. Can't there be three choices? Live free, die, or eat cake. Oprah, what do you think? I don't know, man. I don't know. Every once in a while, I'll watch television, which is usually always. I've seen these commercials for reverse mortgages. Have you seen those things? Do you know what a reverse mortgage is?
I don't either.
They never fully explain it on television. I think they fear that if they do, people will be more confused, like annuities. I don't understand that either. I had one once, tried to get rid of it. It was like a timeshare problem. I want to cash in my annuity. No, you don't.
What are you talking about?
Reverse mortgage. I think reverse mortgage is instead of you paying your mortgage, they pay you your mortgage. I think that would be nice, but what are the consequences of that? How does that even work? And why are only tough people talking about reverse mortgages? Do they want to show you that no matter how intricately
important a mortgage is, here's a tough person to tell you it's just nice and sweet and we can make some fun out of it. We can get money out of it.
Tom Selleck is the newest person to explain it. Tom Selleck, of course, was Magnum PI. Who better to explain a reverse mortgage? And now he's with the show Blue Bloods. I think it's about the New York City Police Department. Explaining about reverse mortgages. Tom Selleck, I believe, is not only a member of the NRA, I believe he's one of the leaders now. I do need a gun-toting Republican talking to me about reverse mortgages. That makes a lot of sense, too. And he says, you know, I didn't know what a reverse mortgage was before, and I still don't. So there you go. No, someone explained to me what a reverse mortgage was. It was somebody who was doing the reverse mortgage business and explained to me what a reverse mortgage is. And I got to tell you, I trust them completely. Well, okay. Is that why you carry a gun? Oh, Tom and your Selecks. Come on, Tom. Tom, come on, Tom. Get over it, Tom. I don't trust Tom Selleck enough to get a reverse mortgage. It doesn't sound right. Yeah, you actually get paid instead of you paying them, but you still own your house. Oh, yeah. On paper, you do, Tom. But the day you die or the day you get out of the house, you better go running because they're coming after you, Manny. All this stuff is a lien on your house. Do you understand what a lien is? Not Arlene. I've never known an Arlene. Arlene Francis is the only Arlene I've ever known. I guess it was an Arlene doll. Millennials don't know who she is. I'm not even sure. Not a lot of Arlenes walking around. Someone said to me, if I said, hey, how are you? My name is Ron. What's your name? My name's Arlene. I'd probably respond by saying, no, seriously, what is your name?
It's Arlene.
No, nobody's named that. Stop it. Just stop it. Don't try to bullshit me. What the hell am I talking about? Oh, reverse mortgages. So anyway, they put a lien on your house. So no, you don't own it. But if you make one move, they'll take it. Because you've rendered all the equity in the house. Do you want to pass it on to your children, your wife, whatever the case may be? There ain't going to be nothing there. You own it. But it ain't worth anything. You've already sucked the blood out of it. I mean, come on, man. Common sense. Reverse mortgage. That's, you know, you better check that sucker out really, really well. I wouldn't just discuss it with somebody at Weight Watchers. That's not good enough. And just because Tom Selleck says, oh, it's a really good thing, I trust him with my life. Okay, Tom. You're not good enough for me to trust you, so that's not going to work. Live free or die, Tom. Selleck, come on, baby. Try to sell me that stuff. It's a television commercial. What are you trying to do here? Reverse mortgage my ass. All right, let's move on. I was watching an episode of Judge Judy yesterday. I like that show because she's crass. If I ever went in front of a judge, I would hope it wouldn't be Judge Judy. I almost said that by mistake. She's very crass and disgusting. I think if a judge actually acted like that, they'd be thrown off the bench. They'd fall off the bench at the picnic table. They would be debarred. No more bars for you. You can't talk to people like that in the courtroom. Actually, a judge can, and they do get in trouble for being so crass. And I mean, Judge Judy basically says, "Okay, I've read your case. You were bitten by your neighbor's dog, but may I say, you're ugly. Where did you get that face? Was your mother like somehow like thrown up against a train? And you're like, what?" The hell? What the? Look at your face. You're disgusting looking. Could you turn the other way? You're stupid and you're disgusting and you're ugly. I don't think judges are supposed to say that. But I do watch Judge Judy because I like seeing people shamed publicly. And I've noticed that there's no difference between a judge's robe and somebody who sings in a choir. They're the same thing. A judge's robe, somebody who sings in a choir, making it a choir robe, and a priest during a high holiday or a high holy day also looks like they're part of the choir or perhaps judge. These are all robes. Any profession where when you're dressing up, you wear a robe is a little suspect. Who came up with that idea? Let's take the most prestigious thing in the courts. Let's take a prestigious court person and dress them in a robe. Well, robes used to be a part of royalty, I believe. The Pope wears a robe and slippers and pajamas. I guess judges in England still wear a wig, a white, curly, powdered wig. Why do they take these most revered people in society and make them look like utter fools? How are you supposed to respect somebody that wears a wig and a robe? It's just respect that person over there wearing the robe, if you would, please. I can't respect anybody wearing a robe. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, there'll be more program for you to enjoy. Okay? Come on.
First, they put jalapenos on your hamburger, but that wasn't hot enough. Then came habaneros, but still, that wasn't hot enough. Next came the ghost pepper, and still, that was not hot enough for you. Well, buckle up, tough guy, because Burger Guy thinks you're not man enough to handle the heat of our new sweet flaming mother of heaven. What the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger? Featuring two of Burger Guy's signature paper-thin patties topped with an experimental hot sauce made from a concentrated hot pepper extract that has only been approved for military use by North Korea. This burger will burn a hole through every inch of your intestines and then slap your mama on its way out for good measure. This burger is so hot they wouldn't let us test it on prisoners. Death row prisoners. But for a limited time, you can try your luck at your local Burger Guy. If you're not a complete pussy.
All purchases of the sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must be pre-approved by a certified attorney at law with proper notification of next of kin. Sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger must not be consumed within 500 yards of schools or within 1,000 yards of open flame. All Burger Guy franchisees reserve the right to ignore cries for mercy or requests for immediate medical attention.
Hi, Claire. How are you?
Hi, Ron. I'm great. Thanks so much for doing this.
It's a pleasure. Actually, I'm kind of excited to talk to you because I've actually gotten quite far into the book and I can't put the thing down, but I have to talk to you, so I have to put it down for a little while.
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yes. It's a novel called I See You. Claire is a New York Times bestselling author of I Let You Go, the previous work. This is very involving, and I'll tell you why. Because in this day and age of paranoia by the government, people, that kind of thing, this is in the back of everybody's mind as to, like, how private am I in what I do in my life? This is just simply a person, a lady, who feels like something's not right, even though she goes about her daily life. Someone's watching, and this is... I think everybody can connect to this in a way.
Well, I certainly hope so, because that's absolutely what I set out to do. So I love reading all sorts of books, and it's really exciting to read books about, people with special powers and special agents, spies. But actually what I love to read is about ordinary people, people whose shoes I can imagine I'm walking in. And so that's exactly who Zoe is. She is someone that we can all relate to, because what's interesting to me is how strong people are, ordinary people, when they're put in extraordinary situations. And there was something that I read a few months ago that said women are like tea bags. You only discover how strong they are when you put them in hot water. And so that's what I like to do with my characters. So I put Zoe Walker in really, really hot water, and she steps up to the plate and does a pretty good job in getting out of it.
Yeah, you kind of grabbed me at the beginning of the book when you set up the scenario where you just go through your normal everyday life, going to work, getting on the train or the tube, as you call it, and not thinking twice about anything, but you are out in public, and all of a sudden the realization comes to you that something's afoot, but it's just grabbed out of your everyday routine. That's the weird part.
Yeah, and we just do this without thinking, don't we? I've thought a lot about routine ever since I started writing this book, and it really does creep into everybody's life, because although this particular book focuses on commuters, so it's about all these people, they're all in London, they do the same journey every day. I don't commute, but I do the school run, exactly the same route every single day. When I walk the dog, I take the same path.
Right.
When I go for a run, I take the same path. I even stop to stretch or get my breath back at exactly the same part on that trip. And so if you do that all the time, it really does present a risk. But for us, routine feels really comforting because it's familiar. The more you do something, the safer you feel.
Right.
And yet, paradoxically, the more danger you're presenting yourself to.
Yeah. See, interestingly enough, everybody else has been commenting and writing about the internet, how you're watched on the internet and nothing you do there is private, and you go on and you do a little Facebook and check your emails and you figure that's just routine for me. But it's all focused on that, and you've focused it on just routine everyday life, which makes it a thriller. It makes it a thriller.
Good old-fashioned stalking, maybe that's the thing. Maybe we're so focused, we're so looking in one direction that we've got complacent.
Yes,
about just the fear of being followed. And of course, when the two collide, when a little bit of online information is matched with real life following, real life stalking, then you've got a really big problem.
I get upset just when a telemarketer calls my house. I can imagine what's...
It's very intrusive, isn't it? I hate that.
Yeah, I do too. I don't understand why you can't stop that, and there are laws against it, but that's on another subject matter. Probably probably your next book, as a matter of fact.
The Telemarketer. It's a brilliant title.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. So, I think I'm going to share in this one. Do I get, a percentage?
We'll see.
I'll
have you. I'll have my people talk to your people.
Oh, that means no. That means no way. I get that. Okay. So you're a very prolific writer. You've been doing this for a while. What did you do before you were a writer?
I was a police officer.
So a little insight involved here.
It's cheating, really, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I was a police officer for 12 years. I did lots of different jobs in the police. I was in uniform as a response officer, going around in cars with blue lights flashing. I was a community officer. I worked in custody. I was a public order commander, so dealing with big demonstrations, riots, that sort of thing. And I was also, one of my jobs was in charge of closed circuit television cameras. Which feature a little bit in this book. And I was really struck by how it's a great example of technology that is used both for good and bad. And so we all know, the whole sort of Big Brother paranoia about cameras and being watched. And of course, they can be used for bad things. But I've also, I saw my team of CCTV camera operators find missing children, stop people from being attacked, you know, solve drug rings. And so there's all sorts of crime that can be solved. And in the UK, we have so many cameras.
You're
I don't think
over,
you guys
no.
have nearly as many.
No, you've got them on every corner.
Do.
You've got them just about every corner, don't you?
You can't move really in right. certainly in a city without being on camera.
Yeah.
And so that was a really interesting area for me to explore.
Interesting. Hey, I say if you got nothing to hide, put me on camera. I don't care. Not in my home.
That's my theory too.
Yeah, that's fine. And of course, these days with terrorism, this is almost becoming part of, you know, this is the way it is on top of that.
Yeah.
Boy, I remember, I don't know how old you are, but I remember when I was a kid, they always warned against this Big Brother thing before, you know, that was even big. And everybody thought, yeah, it's science fiction. Wow, that wasn't science fiction.
No, God, no, absolutely.
And it did change our society. Okay, it's called I See You. It's available everywhere. I better hope it is. All right.
I think it is. Yeah.
Well, of course it is. Okay, and how do we follow Claire McIntosh? And that didn't sound right. That did not sound right. You know what I mean.
Do you know what? I actually love being followed online by nice people. So
okay.
If you are a stalker, don't come and follow
don't
me.
Come.
But if you're a nice person, then look me up on Twitter or Facebook. You can just search Claire McIntosh. You'll find me and come chat about books.
Wonderful. The book is I See You. It's recommended. Go pick it up. And I don't want to hear any arguments about that. Thank you, Claire.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been wonderful. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. It'll be March tomorrow. Won't that be exciting? No. So until then, I wish you peace.